This is the Closet Geek, episode 117 for March 17th, 2016.
Hi, this is Vic Mignogna from Full Metal Alchemist, Dragon Ball Z, and Star Trek Continues. And guess what you're listening to? The Closet Geek.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own. Closet Geek!
Hey guys, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out, the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek, to bring you the latest in geeky news. I am your host, Barry Rickson. With me, I have tonight, Ryan and Michael.
Hey!
So, John is not able to join us tonight, but he sends his love to all the geeks out there.
His geek love.
His geek love.
That doesn't sound right.
Alright, well let's go to the first segment of the show.
This week in Geek!
This is This Week in Geek, where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, and things we love, and things we could recommend for you guys to go check out. So, guys, did you do anything geeky this time?
Well, World of Warcraft Blizzard has announced a new achievement that ties in with Hearthstone. So if you level up a character to level 20, you get an achievement in the game, and you unlock a new character for Hearthstone. So I'm about, I don't know, I think I'm level 13, so I'll probably finish that up soon.
So you're getting back into Hearthstone after you rage quit Hearthstone.
No, I'm just going to get the character because I can.
Oh, okay.
I probably won't even play it.
Because you're like, that's something I can actually accomplish in Hearthstone is get a new character, but then I'll stop.
Yeah, see, because not everyone who plays Hearthstone plays World of Warcraft.
That's true.
So people will be like, ooh, that's a cool character. Where'd you get it?
Is it crossover for being a participant in World of Warcraft? Do you get anything in World of Warcraft, or is it strictly Hearthstone?
Because the great thing about Blizzard is that they do a lot of crossover things. So, if you level up at a certain part in Hearthstone, you got a special pet in World of Warcraft type of thing. Or, you know, if you got to a certain level, like in Heroes of the Storm, you got a special back on the back of, a special back. Because each, you can choose between different backings of your cards in Hearthstone.
Different background, yeah.
And so,
the back of the card.
The back of the card. And so that's another thing that, so they do a lot of crossover things like that, and you know, so if you play this game and get to here, you'll get a little benefit for this game that you also play type of thing. And I think that's cool that they do that because sometimes it feels like they can cannibalize themselves whenever they bring out a new game, because, you know, they're about to bring out Overwatch, which was the, you know, they finally announced the release date of that May 24th. And I will probably stop playing any other Blizzard game and just be playing Overwatch. But, you know, I might jump back and play, Heroes of the Storm, because I still really enjoy that. But, you know, I played Hearthstone a lot, but when Heroes came out, I focused on Heroes. And so it's just interesting. But I do know people that play all of the games, like, all the time. And so they do have that group of people as well. But I guess they can't be too upset about it if they, you know, you leave one of their games just to go play one of their other games.
So, they know you're not going to leave any of their games. You're just going to keep playing all of them, so that way you can get all the cross content all the time, and then they suck you dry for all of your dollars. Wahahaha. No, it's really not that bad. It's actually fantastic marketing is the idea of all the cross play. It gets people involved, and it gets people interested in doing things that they wouldn't normally do. So if you were a World of Warcraft player and found out about this achievement on Hearthstone and are an achievement junkie, then boom, you're going to do it.
Well, and it's really cool, too, because, like, we were talking before the show started, Ryan and I were talking about Overwatch and how they have just, you could buy just the general game or you can get the Origins game for a little bit more where you can get free skins and stuff. But one of the other things you get for getting the Origins package is you get a free character for Heroes of the Storm, because once Overwatch launches, then they're going to add Overwatch characters to Heroes of the Storm. So Tracer, who's one of the most popular, well-known characters in the game, and is probably going to be, you'll get the Tracer character for Heroes of the Storm. So it's
is he the one with the skull?
She's the one that teleports.
What does she look like?
She's a short brunette hair.
She's got the rollerblades.
No, that's right? No, that's no. That is Lucio. He's the DJ guy. No, Tracer is the
No, she's yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, am I thinking of a different game?
She teleports. She was one of the main characters featured in their cinematic trailer that they released.
But she wears yellow and she's got the sunglasses things.
Yeah.
I thought she had rollerblades or something.
No.
Where she slides around the... Yes, she does.
No, she doesn't. But, so that's kind of fun, you know, and they're already talking about the characteristics that she'll have in Heroes of the Storm and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. So did you get the character you wanted, or you're still working on that for the Hearthstone thing?
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple levels. It won't take me more than an hour or so, but I'm doing it with... as a family thing, so I'm not out leveling them.
Oh, gotcha.
Playing with my wife and kids, and we're all leveling together.
Cool. All right. Anything else?
Oh, nice.
No.
No. No. No cosplay updates or anything.
No, not really. I've got some stuff about ready to turn out. I'll post that on my Facebook page.
How's the workout program coming for your character?
I was like, how's the physical fitness? Physical fitness.
Physical fitness.
Well, I just went to the doctor today because I busted up my knee.
Oh, nice. Was it swinging those bells too much?
Kettlebells. Well, I was exercising on my driveway, which is at a slope. A downgrade, and that was bad. Don't do that when you're lifting heavy things.
Don't do that.
So I twisted my knee and went to the doctor, I probably strained a ligament or something.
Oh.
Wait, I have to go get X-rays tomorrow. I can still walk on it, but it's annoying. So, and it's stiff and sore. But the good news is that, she said, well, when you first started coming to me, which was July 2015, you weighed 302 pounds. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she says, we just weighed you now. Do you know what it was? And I said, oh, I wasn't looking. She says, 273.
Oh.
So in one year, you've lost 30 pounds.
That's good. That's awesome.
So... I'm on my way. I'm technically at the halfway mark of what I wanted to lose. Actually a bit more of my halfway mark. I'm at my halfway mark. Okay. Cause
nice.
About 30 more pounds to go before DragonCon, which is the first weekend in September. So I have about 5.5 months to do it.
Okay. Good.
I have
half the time to lose as much weight as it took me to lose in 1 year.
it can be done.
Awesome.
It can be. It's just that I haven't really been, I wasn't really diehard about it over the last year. I was trying to make slow changes, kind of I didn't want to change everything all at once.
Yeah.
Because I've read that people who do that tend to fail because they've got too much going on. It's too stressful to keep up with new things all the time. So what I did was just changed one thing, one small thing about my lifestyle change at once. At first, it was like just consume more protein.
Yeah.
You know, and then consume less calories and then add in an exercise that's fun, but not something stressful, something, you know, it's a building process. And research has shown that people who do it that way tend to have changes, weight loss that stays off rather than people who do the yo-yo thing where they'll crash and lose 30 pounds in 2 months or, you know, 6 weeks or something crazy like that. And then, you know, a year later, they're back at their same weight or heavier.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I didn't want to, obviously, nobody wants to do that.
You don't want to do the rubber band.
I'm being very patient with my body.
Good.
And it's changes. So.
Good.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned physical fitness because this week I started the Batman workout.
Oh,
finally
the Batman workout.
I kind of talked about it maybe a little bit ago.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, I found like all these different resistance training workouts based off of superheroes.
I remember that.
And I decided to print out the Batman and do it.
Because who doesn't want to be Batman?
Now, admittedly, I am focusing strictly right now, though, on lower body and core because of my back issues. I need to strengthen my core before I really start getting more aggressive into the, you know, punching bag stuff and so forth that I'm going to be working out with. I'm going to start working out with a friend of mine who's a physical fitness guy, and he's also a boxer, and so I thought it would be fun to learn some striking because I suck at striking. I'm an amazing grappler, but I suck at striking.
Boxers go through a pretty good workout themselves to get in shape.
Definitely,
right? But
punching a bag is strenuous.
Yeah, and that's why I can't do it now, because if I did that, I'd probably throw my back out unintentionally just doing something that would be considered easy. So I need to really strengthen that. But I'm starting.
What are you doing to strengthen your body?
Oh, it's
my body.
Honestly,
is ready.
it seems really menial things. I mean, it's like crunches, planks, leg lifts. There's mountain climbers. Just things that are just basic exercises, really. But it's what
body weight
forces
exercises.
Resistance. You know, it's just my own body weight. And if I can get that to the point where I can do multiple sets easy, then I can move it to the next level. So since I haven't really been active in my martial arts for the last year, my physical fitness has gone, really crappy. But luckily, my cardio, oddly enough, my strength has gone down, which I think is partially why I've lost some weight, because I've lost muscle mass. But my cardio is, about par where it was, because I run around a lot LARPing, but I don't do any, resistance training with LARPing.
So you're like a marathon runner.
Yeah.
I don't really have a beer belly, thank goodness. But I do have some love handles I would like to get rid of, and that'll come just in the next month.
So how?
We've like gone physical fitness this geek.
Yeah, podcast. Fitness geek. What
hey,
about
you
a,
know sometimes?
Well, nerd you're fitness. Talking about your thing. You're talking about your LARPing. Any updates on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we all the big weekenders, like the campouts, have been preset. So I need to basically get my vacation time in so I can get I usually will get a half day vacation on the Fridays that the campouts start. so I can get off at like noon and finish packing up everything and go up early to set up. Cause like you get bonus points basically for going and helping set up.
Yeah.
And I'm an experience.
Extra experience. Yeah.
I'm an experience person who likes to get a lot of experience. I was trying to figure out a family friendly word, but it just didn't come to me. But anyway, the
connoisseur
rule book. Yeah, there you go.
Good. I like it.
Schnob. I'm an experienced schnob. But the rule book, like the 2.0 release that we've been working on all winter.
The title of our episode
is rule book 2.0.
Experienced
schnob. There you go. But that's going to be hopefully is. I'm waiting for Gomez to send me all the email information so I can then do the major format change and the update. But that'll be an April release. And I have suggested to the organization to do something they've never considered, which is publish their rule book on Blurb.
Blurb.
I don't know Blurb.
Yeah, blurb.com is an online publishing. It's you can publish your own books.
Yeah,
you submit all the work and the membership is free and the software is free and everything's free. Excuse me, but when you actually print the book, you can choose how you would like it printed and their software will lay out everything for you, and it's really nice. And I've published a book myself already for school projects back when I was in college. And we can essentially do this. And instead of having the overhead of having to print a set number of books or to have to even print books, is we can basically put it out there that, hey, here's the online version that is free for everyone. But if you want a printed version, you could go hard copy, soft copy, you know, coffee table, book size, whatever you want. And then you just basically pay for it on the website, and then we mark it up a little bit so we can help support the organization. But that way people can get a printed copy of their rule book, and it will look really nice. So it'll be kind of
neat. I like it.
Yeah. So, you know, blurb.com, if you've ever wanted to publish your own book or, you know, just publish your own book. There you go. It's free, and you can even create links so people can go to your links and buy your book. And whether you want to mark it up or not, that's entirely up to you.
Cool.
So it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, LARP is awesome. I am sitting here with a stack full of craft sticks or popsicle sticks, because we use popsicle sticks to represent consumables like potions, salves, things like that. And since I'm crafter,
that way you can snap them to indicate that you used
them. you have a popsicle stick and you write on it, and it has like a date for expiration and so forth. But when you finish using it, you can either choose to break it or if you're feeling less, you know, deadly and breaking things, you can actually just hand it off to one of the marshals, and sometimes they will reuse those items as long as they're dated respectively and basically reintroduce them as easy treasure without having to do their own side production to
reuse.
Create this stuff.
Reuse.
Yeah, it's reuse. reuse this, you know, and so, but it's cool. I love being able to.
Because we care about the environment, people.
Yeah, but. But it's cool being able to be somebody that's not just a combat person. You know, I've created a character that's very utilitarian. You know, he does a lot of support. So he's all about being a medic out in the field. He's an archer, so he's not frontline. And I can now use my potions and salves through my bow. So instead of like having to run out to somebody and
dipping your arrow and shooting them,
I can basically shoot them with my arrow that's been, coated in this salve. And so there's honestly, there are times where like the front line breaks and a bunch of people fall down and they start bleeding to death, you know, and we get all pushed back and they're all like 30 feet away dying and nobody can do anything about it. And everybody's like, oh no. I'm like, I'll just shoot them with an arrow and they'll get back up. I'll be like, woohoo. So I've used it a few times where people were enslaved by vampires, you know, like charmed to basically obey them.
Yeah.
And I shoot them with a salve that cures them of their enslavement. And so and they're like, what's funny is though, they get hit with this arrow and they look at me like, what did you just say? Oh, I'll take that. Yeah. You know? And so they turn around and start pounding on the bad guy. It's pretty funny. But yeah, LARP is good. I was promised by the wife that if we get a tax return, because we usually have a tendency to break very even.
Yeah.
But this year we might actually get something back, which is cool.
Cool.
Which, I mean, honestly, to break even is like the ideal accounting for yourself throughout the year, because that way you're actually pocketing the money or investing it appropriately instead of giving it to the government and not being able to use it. And then getting, you're like, I got this giant refund. Yeah, that $5,000 that you just got back could have been in, you know, making money throughout the year, you know, even just in a savings account, it's going to do more than what it was with the government. Anyway,
you're wrong.
Well, the thing is you can plan to break even, but if you have like a large family or lots of deductibles or a small business that has a lot of deductibles, you know, sure, yeah, you're going to get more back even though you planned to break even.
So because if you do get some back, what are you going to buy?
I am going to get either a new computer,
ooh,
or LARP stuff. Well,
I guess,
which is funny because either one is about the same price.
I guess what you really need to weigh is like, what do you do more?
Yeah, and that's having another computer could be beneficial in the fact that Lance is getting to the point where he's starting to do more assignments on the computer. He's starting to use the computer or want to use the computer more often. As you see him in the background, he's like, yeah, that'd be awesome. New computer. Yeah, new computer. But honestly, I have to have the resources to basically create a whole new tower for myself.
Yeah.
Without cannibalizing from my old system. And so,
right. So you can give your old system to him.
Yep, exactly. So the system I'm on currently doing this will become essentially his, and then I will have the more up-to-date system, you know, the DDR4 RAM and so forth. But yeah, or I can get new armor and some other and basically start LARPing out a secondary character, you know. So stuff like that. But Final Fantasy front, the big updates have come, and some of these updates are so stinking huge. I'm like, you know, because of the time of year it is and the type of job I have, I'm just super busy during tax season. And so I haven't had a time to really dive in. So over the weekend, I was like, I'm going to put as many hours in as I can. And even then I was just like, I barely dented the story. I barely dented a few quests. There's so much to do. And there was so much to do before that. And while while it sounds like I'm complaining, it's more of an awe factor. Like, I could play this game forever and barely, you know, hit the limits or achievements for like 3/4 of the stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's so much content. As long as you're willing to invest yourself in all the content. And I think that has a lot to do with any online game, is some people are like hardcore combat and that's all they do. Other people are hardcore crafters or gatherers and that's all they do. Or they want to do PvP, you know, all the time, and that's their niche. Or you have kind of roundabout players like myself that we do everything, and you know, but because of that, we haven't necessarily finished, you know, one category all the way to the, like, the most extreme equipment.
Yeah.
And so you get all these people who are like, hey, let's go do this dungeon. And I'm like, I can't, I don't have the gear for it yet. Tear.
I would die.
I would die. But Final Fantasy's been pretty awesome. Good. I just need to get more time for that. But, and then honestly, just anime and TV shows every week.
You know what?
Nothing new on that front.
That's the problem about being a geek. There's just too much. Like,
it's so true. And it depends on what it depends on what you geek out on.
Oh, that's the thing. I geek out on so many things that I love. And well, you really do have to come to, you have to get to that point where you're like, I need to be like a certain type of geek. And so, yeah. So Mike is our anime LARP geek. Ryan,
oh man.
Ryan is our cosplay geek. John is our news and science geek. And I'm the gaming geek because I've been doing a lot of that lately. And it's just, but there's so many things I want to do. And I'm just like, man, I don't have time to do all of this.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
too much.
You were talking about anime, and something that I realized I haven't had a chance to talk on really fast is SLC Anime, Salt Lake City Anime. We didn't meet for 2 months, and so we had two series and two movies to review.
Yeah,
we reviewed One Punch Man, which, regardless of who watched it, it got good reports. Everybody loved it. I think there was only two people, now that I think about it, of course, a little bit more, there was only two people who gave it, you know, bad and or mediocre scores. But in general, it scored really high. I think it was one of our highest scores. I think it was either a 7.5 or an 8. People really loved One Punch Man. It's definitely a different show with a unique feel. It is a comedy. But I highly recommend One Punch Man. There's only one season out there right now. It's, I think, 12 episodes, and there's a few short OAV episodes that you can watch. So really, if you really want to see everything, I think there's like maybe 15 episodes worth of content. But that was really cool. Vampire Hunter D, the 1985 release, everybody's like, yeah, Vampire Hunter D, let's go watch it again. And we all watched it, and we went, this show sucked.
This is awful.
That's all we had back then.
But then we realized, yeah, for nostalgia reasons, a lot of us scored it high for nostalgic purposes because we're like, this was maybe the first, you know, anime that even had any sort of level of adult content that was, you know, so it was completely different. The animation style was a little different, you know, but when we watch it now as an adult and look back in, you know, 85 when it came out, we're like, oh, the story was horrendous. and you know, the animation quality, while okay, the production quality was horrendous. Like, just lots of stills and, you know, just reused, you know, scenes. And it was, you know, you're like, wow, this was really horrible, but it was the best that we had in 85 in North America.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty funny to hear us all kind of like, thanks for ruining my childhood by making me rewatch this.
I know, right? Well, it's kind of like watching like movies that we loved from the 80s, and you're just like,
yeah,
just like, what?
Although I must say that Goonies holds up very well.
Although I watched Goonies,
Ghostbusters does too.
I was totally blown away. Like, I don't remember them swearing that much. I was like,
oh yeah.
Oh, my ears, they're burning.
It doesn't bother kids as much as it bothers the parents.
It's yeah. Weird. And like, I don't remember that at all. And then, but now as an adult, you recognize it and you're like, what?
I remember Mom was complaining because of the language, and she didn't want us to watch it.
Oh, that's funny. See, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
All right. But, well,
no, it's my turn. I was going to two more quick Two more. Real fast. No, because we had the four shows all together. We had Howl's Moving Castle, which, of course, being a Miyazaki, reviewed very well because it's high production, good quality, just good stuff all over. Howl's Moving Castle, can't go wrong there. And then the other series was Outlaw Star, which was a late 90s space opera, cowboy type show.
It's funny.
And I got a kick out of the fact that so many of them, when they were younger, back in the late 90s, had experienced it through Adult Swim on Toonami. Mm-hmm. And I had watched it through the VHS.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so there was a few episodes that were never aired on television that they all experienced for the first time and were like, I don't remember this episode. And then they realized, oh, well, being a, like the, you know, it was the classic, like, beach scene or the classic, you know, hot springs episode, you know, very classic trope for anime. But I can understand why it wasn't shown for television, because late 90s anime did something that current anime doesn't necessarily do, is censor certain things like nipples and so forth. And so they were like, whoa, what did we just see? And I was like, oh yeah, that's before they really started editing and censoring things in the early thousands, when the animation style changed. And they're like, oh. So it was funny to see their reactions for something they had never experienced, because they were really excited to watch the show, and then they had these two episodes that were like completely new to them, which kind of changed their opinion about the show. Some of them thought it added to the show, where others were like, well, it wasn't really necessary because of how they remembered the original show. But overall, it actually
is that
it scored around you know, the 6.5-7s.
Ask you. All the fans.
Yeah.
Of
there's a
Game
reason.
Of
it's,
Thrones,
there's a reason. It's called.
Blood.
Yeah. There's a reason. It's called fan service. Is because the fans want it.
Yeah.
That's why it's called fan service. Is because it's something that they do to satisfy the fans of that
most
genre.
Most people like to see it. You are in the minority, Barry.
Yeah. Just as a reminder,
I'm weird.
Fan service is not all about panty shots and bouncing boobs. It could be giant mech battles. That is fan service, because that's what the fans want in that genre. So it depends on what the genre of anime and or film is. Is those tropes are what people want, and that's the fan service.
All
Barry,
right.
Your turn.
All right, thanks. So last couple weeks, been playing a lot of Rocket League. And I actually started, but that's the
Rocket League. Isn't that the soccer car game?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to remind myself.
That's what I streamed last week for our stream. And I played like 3 hours, 3 hours of it.
And, 3 hours of Rocket Car Soccer.
Yeah. And it was awesome. And then but this week I also started playing some ranked play. And so I'm actually going up some ranks as well. And then I jumped onto Heroes. And I could tell that it's been a while since I played Heroes, because I was, like, dying a lot. And I was like, oh, man, I gotta...
What does this button do again?
No. I had that moment where I was just like, I'm like, what do I press to chat? And I was like, I was like, oh, enter. And but it took me a second. I was like, brain fart. It was funny. But, you know, I had fun doing that. But I've also been reading Brandon Sanderson's latest Mistborn novel book called Bands of Mourning.
I need to pick that up.
Super good, super, super good. And I also bought his novella, Mistborn book, which actually takes place during the original trilogy. But he said, don't read it before you read Bands of Mourning, because there's spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah.
That relate to the book that takes place 300 years later, but there's spoilers for it. So I'm like, ooh. So I bought that because Crystal, my wife, has already read Bands of Mourning, and so I bought that for her so she could read that. And so been enjoying that, but mostly just doing some gaming. But I did have a geeky purchase that I convinced my wife to allow me to use some of our tax return to buy.
Wow. She must have not wanted you to talk at all, because I can't hear a thing. You're tight. I can't hear you at all, Barry.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. I can now hear Ryan. What happened there?
I don't know.
And I could hear it. It was your opinion.
Maybe
you're
just weird. But I bought
I'm like, all of a sudden, everybody got quiet and I couldn't hear anything.
That's fine.
So what did you buy?
I bought a theater system. So I bought a nine-foot screen with professionally Fender brand speakers with stands that, you know, can stand up several feet high, and then a very nice projector. And bought all of that in a big, and I did my pick and choose, because I actually found some products that were like, you know, buy this package and stuff like that. And actually, it was cheaper to buy everything individually, because I was able to pick the things I wanted. And that worked out. And so I convinced my wife to let me buy that, because I was like, think of the fun parties and activities we could have at our house with movie nights, and all through the summer we could just have movie nights out on the, you know, invite the neighborhood to come. And so we did that, and I got it all on yesterday, and I put it together just to see how it'd work, and, you know, plugged in my Blu-ray player to it and streamed some Netflix on it. And, you know, nice. So I was watching The Ultimate Spider-Man on my 9-foot screen, and it was beautiful picture quality, and it was awesome. So,
are you going to become a video and audiophile, Barry? I thought I was kind of a geek that way, but
I was geeking out real hardcore. I was like, oh, this is amazing. So, I'll make sure
home
to let you
theater.
Guys.
Theater. Awesome.
I know. So, yep. I had a great purchase with that, and that was basically my geeky weeks and
tech geek hardcore.
Yes. Let us go to the next segment of the show, the Weekly Geek. This is called the Weekly Geek, and we talk about geeky news that happened throughout the week. Not a lot happened, but some fun highlights happened. I think one of the biggest things that happened within the last 2 weeks was, of course, the Captain America Civil War trailer with the big ending with Spider-Man appearing at the end. It was glorious, and I was so happy.
He did the superhero landing.
That's
it's
right.
Hard on the knees.
That's right. I've seen that meme already with Deadpool clapping. He's like,
Oh yeah. It's interesting kind of
opinions,
quips.
Go for it.
If the sound effects are appropriate for the scene and not just the trailer, it would or may appear that Spider-Man has a powered suit, possibly built by Tony.
Not his whole suit, but definitely his eyes, because when his eyes contract, there's a whirring sound like of gears.
Yeah. And so
it's possible. Well, in the comic books, Stark made the Scarlet Spider
suit, which was basically the Iron Spider. Yeah, that was
Iron Spider.
I think it's called the Iron Spider.
Yeah, I never really got into it.
But
you never know.
Well, and you know he's obviously
they
in
change
that...
stuff in the Marvel world for the movies all the time.
Yeah,
so
and obviously in that scene, you know, he's on Tony's side. But I love how Tony calls him Underoos.
Underoos.
Underoos. And he comes in and does it. And I just, but I read an article today talking, you know, about the directors and saying how that, you know, he does actually play a pretty good role in the movie. And it's not just like he's there and then he's gone. He actually plays he'll be in the movie frequently. And so that's kind of interesting and exciting. And, you know, obviously building his character up, because next year we're going to be getting the Spider-Man.
Yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man,
the solo movie. And
yeah.
And I think that's, I know, but man, so, and you get this with no matter what movie it is, no matter who it is or what happens, but you had the people like me that I'm just excited. I think it was fun and exciting, but then you'd be like, all the trolls out there just like, oh, the suit looks ridiculous. Oh my gosh, the CGI was so awful and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that, you know, and I'm just like, why can't people just enjoy it for what it is?
Well, the way I see it is I always think to myself, you do realize this is a trailer.
Yeah.
It's not even a full trailer. It was a sneak peek trailer.
Well,
too.
And even the directors were like, they're like, they're still editing and stuff we need to finish. I mean, there's still so much, you know, there's stuff that's still being done even before the movie's out. And so,
yeah. And honestly, it could have been thrown together CG wise by a few guys, you know, by a studio just to get a trailer out. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's, I'm just excited. That movie's going to be awesome. I am super excited to see Batman versus Superman next week.
That'll be awesome. And I am going to go see it for sure.
I am
going
to go see it for sure as well. But this trailer for Captain America, I was just like, oh man, I might be a little bit more excited for Civil War. But then I'm like, oh, but I love Batman so much. And it's just like, I'm just going to love it all. Basically, I would be the worst movie critic of all time, because I would go see a movie and then people would be like, what? So give us your opinion on the movie. I'm like, oh, that was good. I had a good time, you know, and they're like, well, analyze it for me. I'm like, there was fighting and I laughed in this part. Because at the end...
That's why I'm the critic, yes, and you're the enjoyer.
You were kind of like Crystal, because after she like analyzes like the, you know, what was going on in their minds when they did that, or, you know, all the like deep stuff. And she's like, so what did you think about this part? I'm like, the part where you like punched him in the face? And I was like, yeah, that was awesome. She's like, no, but what did it mean? I'm like, he punched him in the face. And I'm like, I'd be a horrible movie critic. Or maybe I would be the best movie critic in that aspect. Be like, was the movie good? Yes! Everyone see it! So.
You either will have a job or not have a job,
exactly,
quite quickly.
That's right. But Civil War is going to be awesome. Yeah.
Civil War will be cool. The Superman Batman. Wow. Cross genre there. I'm actually looking forward to the supposed cameos of Aquaman, Flash,
Cyborg.
You know, the other characters, Cyborg, yeah, and just to see how they fit into the story. But what was interesting is I read a little article about how Ben Affleck was talking about how the first 10 to 15 minutes of the film are super dark, yeah, and just, you know. You know, so I have a feeling that everything we have been seeing in the trailers is probably the first 20 minutes of the film.
I sure hope
and the
so.
Rest of the film, we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that would
be great, is that everybody thinks the whole film is going to be about what the trailers are, only to find out. Well, it's the same way with Civil War. The whole Civil War thing could be like it could be 15 minutes in the middle of the film.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the beginning's the build-up, the middle's the fight, and then the end is them realizing that they can't fight and end up coming up against something else, you know?
Well, and the
you know,
and
you have the
maybe
whole,
they'll just kill Captain America.
I don't think so, because all the actors are signed on for the Infinity War movies.
Well, they brought it back in the comics, too.
I know. No, if they kill anyone,
everyone thought Nick Fury was dead.
If they kill anyone, it will be Bucky. They'll kill.
That's him. Okay. Well, yeah, they also thought Coulson was back, dead, but they brought him back.
Yeah.
They won't kill off Bucky.
You don't think so?
No. Why would they?
That would be a lot of work to just end up killing him.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
They can't kill him off because the audience isn't emotionally involved with him yet.
Exactly. So that's why he'd be easy to kill off.
No, you kill off somebody when they are emotionally involved, because it makes it more dramatic.
It's true.
Unless you're Quicksilver.
But have you seen that meme? Have you seen that?
That's kind of a good point. But he was starting to grow on people.
I'm really surprised they killed him off, to be honest.
Have you seen it's
a character with so much potential.
Have you seen the meme where it shows the picture of Flash from the TV show? And it's like, this is how Flash catches bullets. And he's like catching them out of the air. And then it shows the meme of Quicksilver. This is how Quicksilver catches them. He's all on the ground dead with bullet holes in him.
You know, that's one thing that confused me is when he went to go be the body shield of Captain America, I was thinking that he was literally going to just grab all the bullets out of the air like Quicksilver should have been able to do. But
the body shield of Hawkeye.
To be more specific. Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, because like an
X. I think because the they just wanted to get rid of him.
I think so.
Well, honestly,
I think they didn't want a conflict with having him compared to the X-Men version of Quicksilver.
Which is awesome.
Which is super
awesome.
It doesn't
really matter because it's like they don't have the rights for the X-Men movie.
I know, but you had the two same characters, and I was just like, maybe they're just like, we don't want to deal with that.
I don't know. They didn't want to deal with something.
But they, speaking of X-Men, they did have a new X-Men trailer come out this week as well, and it made, they showed some other stuff, looked pretty cool. But some other movie news that I thought was pretty cool. Miss Peregrine's Home, a Peculiar Children trailer came out. New Tim Burton movie based off of the novel.
Uh-huh.
Looked super good.
I don't know enough to make a judgment call. It looked like a Tim Burton film.
I know, but
I only knew the book existed. I had no idea what the content was.
Just based on the trailer, though, it looks good.
Right. I know nothing about the book, but I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a Tim Burton film, which means I'll like it.
Crystal says the book is okay. It is kind of creepy because actually the book is based off of actual photos that have been taken of, children and stuff like that, that have unusual things. And then the person based off of these children pictures and actually has the pictures
right
the
and the pictures
and
are
like
in the book to start life like each short story
but
that much I know, but that's about it.
Something else cool that happened in movie news: Disney announces the official Indiana Jones 5 movie coming out with Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg coming back.
Indiana Jones 5,000.
Well, I think it'll be better than the last one because Disney is involved.
Well, not only that,
but better than the last one.
Well, I know, but Disney.
I was gonna say,
not to say that Disney doesn't have bad movies, because they do, but when they purchase a franchise, they do a really good job on putting movies out about it.
Well, I have a question.
They need to make a successor to Harrison, so maybe he'll be teaching somebody.
But well, I was gonna say with the well, what they could have his son
Shia LaBeouf back.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Chopping off the head of Shia LaBeouf.
Well, I was thinking with all the movies, I have a feeling, wasn't Lucas only involved with the first film?
Well, no, because Indiana Jones is his franchise. So Lucasfilms, they're all
I'm talking about, George Lucas, but I don't think he co-wrote the other films, just the first one.
Off
right?
the top of my head, I don't know.
Because it was Spielberg and Lucas who made
Google.
The first
Indiana
film.
Google
Jones IMDb.
Oh, yeah, IMDb. Okay, there you go. So I'm just curious.
Ryan
because
will find out.
I feel like
so
Spielberg
you just
went
know.
To...
Did he co-write
was,
all the movies?
Was he actually a writer on the films other than the first one? But just because the fourth one was so horrible... I have a feeling
really
Spielberg went way hardcore, and he loves aliens, and so
they weren't aliens
know.
This time; they were interdimensional beings.
Well, George
that
Lucas
like aliens.
I know, right?
Wrote the story, but Lawrence Kasdan wrote the screenplay for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah.
George Lucas wrote the story, though.
Right. He co-wrote the story with Spielberg.
George Lucas also did The Last Crusade,
right?
And
so far the ones that everybody likes. like I said, he's a great idea guy, but he himself says he sucks at screenwriting.
He did do the story for Temple of Doom. What's the latest one? Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull. Yeah. That's the one that everybody was like, what's up with this? The terrible CG monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
How do you spell crystal? I'm brain farting.
K-R-Y-S-T-C-R.
You're spelling it like your wife.
Oh, sorry.
C-R-Y-S-T-L.
Yes, my wife's name is K-R-Y.
I'm like, not your wife's crystal.
Okay, yeah. I think I was spelling crystal your wife.
My wife's name.
All right. Yes. George Lucas did write the story for all the movies.
Oh, man.
There you go.
That's too bad.
But he didn't do the screenplay.
Well, no.
Screenplay.
Yeah, it's different. He's not a screenplay writer. He himself will tell you that.
All right.
No, he won't.
Let's.
Did you see the picture of him, like, hanging out in the Adelaide food court?
You know, you realize George Lucas did the screenplay for the Star Wars movies, right?
Yeah, and he himself said he hated doing it.
Well, he sucks at it.
Well, yeah, he knows that, but he felt like nobody could give it justice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just read a very interesting book about him and the Star Wars franchise. So anyway,
so there was a few little bits of gaming news. PlayStation VR revealed their price at $399,
$400.
Which is cheaper than the other VR sets that are coming out at $600.
It's cheaper than Oculus. Yeah.
Also, the PlayStation Vue is coming out.
Yeah. So
I don't care about it because it costs just as much.
Yeah.
As table.
So I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to buy the VR. I'm not going to do any of that. So I don't know.
I can't do VR. I get all bulky.
Yeah. Blech. But yeah, so
those first-person shooter VR demos look pretty awesome.
That'd
though.
Be pretty cool.
And Sword Art Online was just IBM.
They did some
test running for Sword Art Online immersive play.
Yeah, so
cool and creepy.
one thing that I thought was really interesting that the Clash of Clans game, over 100 million people play that. Every day. 100 million people every day play Clash of Clans.
Well, isn't it? It's almost like League of Legends, right?
No.
Right? Where
League of Legends
they make
only,
that much.
Only 26 million people a day.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't understand that. I don't even like the game.
I have never played it, and I've never downloaded
it. Imagine,
I have no interest in those games.
Imagine if you just
rate it up there with Flappy Bird.
If you get 1% of that is a million, and each 1% pays $1 to do an in-game purchase, boom, that's
it's $1 million.
That's $1 million right there, just for 1% of the people that play it daily. That is insane.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Yeah. We make $10 million a day.
They probably do.
With a game that is lame.
Some people like it.
It's not lame. It's not our cup of tea.
It's not my type of game.
But
I don't enjoy those games.
Yeah. But it's some gaming news, a lot of movie news that we talked about. But enough of that. Let's get into something a little bit more fun and important. Geeky trivia.
Woo!
Thanks, man.
Woo!
All right.
There you go. All right. Since John's not here.
And since we talked about Indiana Jones, we're going to do some Indiana Jones trivia.
Nice. I think I could do this.
All right. Let me get a pen. Some paper.
Ooh. Is this like super hard stuff or easy stuff? I don't know.
I just pulled it up. We'll find out.
I do enjoy me some Indiana Jones trivia. Right. Although, don't ask anything about the Crystal Skull.
I know, right? All right. As Raiders of the Lost Ark opens, Indiana Jones is searching for an idol. When he locates it, he is hesitant to approach it. Indy's assistant says, "Let us hurry. There is nothing to fear here." What is Indiana Jones' reply?
He doesn't say anything.
You know how long it's been since I've seen that
movie? Because he runs in there, and then when he sees him, he says something when he sees his dead body, but I can't remember what he says.
So he says, that's what scares me. When the, he said, let us hurry, the guy says, let us hurry, there's nothing here to fear.
Oh, that's what scares me.
He said,
got
that's
it.
What scares me.
Movie quotes.
All right. Ah. In which Indiana Jones movie does, oh, sorry, I'm just going off of these, but Allison Duty appear?
Who? Allison Duty? Are we talking about in the Last Crusade, the blonde
girl?
Actress?
Yes, Michael. The Last Crusade. She does play Dr. Elsa Schneider.
Yeah, thank you. Elsa Schneider. Thank you. Yeah, she was the love interest.
And also a Nazi.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Love interest for both dad and
son. Jones.
What type of animal is Indiana Jones scared of?
Snake.
Snakes, Michael.
His father's afraid of rats.
It's true. Yes, I'll give you a point for that, Ryan. All right. Who plays Indiana Jones?
Harrison Ford.
Ty.
Okay.
All right. What kind of dog does Indiana Jones have as a boy?
A German Shepherd.
A Malamute.
Incorrect. A Husky.
A Husky. Okay.
I was closer.
In Indiana.
All right. Upon coming back from the First World War, Indiana Jones was an understudy to Abner Ravenwood. Which university was he studying in?
Yale.
Miskatonic.
Awesome.
University of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. I don't know, Miskatonic and Arkham. That there you go. Love it, Ryan. That's awesome.
All right.
I need to get that university sticker on my car. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right. When Marion tells Indiana, "You're not the man I knew 10 years ago," Indy replies, it's not the years, honey. It's the blank.
It's the miles.
It's the mileage. Correct, Michael.
Oh, mileage. Yeah.
All right. In the Temple of Doom, how many Shankara stones fall to the bottom of the ravine?
Two.
Three.
Two is correct, Mike. Dang it.
Because he saves one.
You betrayed Shiva.
In Raiders of the Lost Ark, what two weapons did Indy carry with him at all times?
Bullwhip and a pistol.
A bullwhip and a pistol.
Good his job. Wit.
His wit.
His intelligence.
In his which charm.
At another Temple of Doom one, what famous song is sung by Willie at the beginning of the film?
Anything Goes.
Anything Goes. Good job, Mike. Wow.
It's an 80s movie. Come on. What do you expect?
That's funny that you mentioned that.
What is the name of the Gestapo agent that tracks Indy and throws Marion into the Well of Souls?
Oh, gosh.
Schneider.
Von something. Von
Schmidt.
Von Gruber or whatever. I don't know.
Troyer.
I think it's... I can't... I probably will say this wrong. It's like Tot, T-O-H-T.
Oh, what's interesting is that's a tough trivia question because they never actually say his name in the film, now that you mention it. It's only written in the script. That's why it's a tough trivia question, because they never actually name him, but the script does.
In which Indiana Jones movie do we see young Indy?
Kurt Last Crusade.
Ryan got that out just before you did, Mike.
I'll give it to Ryan.
River Phoenix.
It. Yep, River Phoenix. That's right. Get to figure out why he has the scar on his chin.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah.
All right. In which language did Indy have to count to 20 in before his father would listen to
Latin.
Him?
Latin.
Greek.
Greek is correct, Ryan.
Oh. Dang it.
All right. Just as Indiana Jones is about to finish off the antagonist in Temple of Doom, he speaks the following words. Mola Ram, prepare to meet...
Bathsheba.
Nope, close.
Nope.
Bali.
Nope.
Shiba.
Kali.
Der.
Ogram, sugarom.
Kaliwa, shakti de.
Or whatever. We butchered the Indian language.
Oh, yeah.
Where did Indy get his fedora?
Where did he get it?
From the dude on the train.
I'll count that. Yeah, the man who stole the cross.
That's right. Okay, I remember.
This belongs in a museum!
All right. All right, in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the Ark of the Covenant was opened, what was found inside?
Dust.
Sand.
Sand is correct, Mike.
Dust. Sand. But either way.
Dust and sand are different.
The crumbled remains of the Ten Commandments.
What film?
Ghosts.
Film is this quote from? We are all going to die.
Oh, that's probably from Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom is correct, Ryan.
Yeah.
That's the blonde chick.
Yeah. Charlie, I think there's her. I can't remember. Willie, thank you.
In which Indiana Jones movie does Indy not fight with anyone?
Crystal Skull.
Doesn't he fight anyone in Last Crusade?
Oh, no, he does lots of fighting in Last Crusade.
Does he? He shoots people?
Trick question. None of them.
Oh. I tried.
All right. What is the name of Indy's and Jones' secretary?
Pearl.
Martha.
Irene.
I'm betting that's only either one in the first film or...
Probably the first film.
Fourth film.
Yeah. Which Indiana Jones movie won an Oscar for Best Film Editing?
Last Crusade.
Temple of Doom.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay. Mm. Maybe. Well,
okay.
Indiana Jones' father was played by which actor?
Sean Connery.
Ryan, just microseconds before.
Yeah.
What rank was Indy in Boy Scouts when we encounter him as a child?
For first class.
Nope.
Life.
A star.
Life is correct, Ryan.
Oh, life.
Mm. All right, you are tied.
Oh.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Last question. In which Indiana Jones movie was there a mine cart chase?
A mine cart?
Temple of Doom.
Or Temple of Doom, yeah. You got it.
Hold on. I messed that up. We'll get a different one.
It was a mime cart.
A mine cart full of mimes.
Watch out.
All right.
Watch out for the mimes.
Watch out for the mimes.
You can't hear them coming.
All right. In The Last Crusade.
That's the title. Watch out for the mimes.
Watch out for the mimes.
In The Last Crusade, Indiana calls his lighter his lucky charm. What does the lighter have printed on it?
A cross.
No. Oh, I don't know.
A four-leaf clover.
A four-leaf clover. Oh, his lucky charm. All right. That would
make you guys need a break.
That could have finished off our St. Patrick's Day episode.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
All right.
Shamrock for the loss.
What is the name? What is the first name of Indiana Jones?
Junior.
Junior is... Or, well, no, but he is a junior, but what junior what? What is his name?
Oh, what's his dad's name? Thomas Jones. No, not Thomas Jones.
You're Thomas Wayne. I don't know.
Henry.
That's right. Henry Jones Jr.
All right.
I hate that name.
The price of immortality means the Grail cannot pass beyond what marker?
the it was a was it
the cave entrance?
Well, no, it wasn't the cave entrance. There was a marker on the ground itself in the foyer. Was it the symbol of the Grail itself?
Nope, it was called the Great Seal.
Great Seal. I'm trying here. I know what
you're
talking
about.
Not
to be confused with the Great Sea Lion.
That's right. All right.
Seal, sea
you guys
lion.
Need to have a break? All right.
Do we need a tiebreaker?
We're trying. We're trying.
We need a tiebreaker. All right, we've said that. Ryan, I was going to answer... did this, but Ryan already answered that. What was
rats.
His dad afraid of? Rats.
Oh, yeah. Rats, yeah. You already got a point for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I win again!
All right. This will be maybe a lucky guess. Which Indiana okay. Jones movie had filming locations in Petra?
In Petra? Oh, that would have been Last Crusade.
Last Crusade is correct. Michael wins!
Yeah, because isn't that's where the carving in the side of the mountainside is, where the temple is, Petra.
Sure.
It's that, yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever. All right, that's it for the Closet Geek. Thanks, guys, for listening. We really appreciate it.
Just barely. I just want to say, I almost beat him at 80s movie trivia question.
I was waiting for like something like, you know, how tall, how long was the staff in the, you know,
because he broke
cubits,
it.
Four cubits. Anyway,
we are the Closet Geek. You find out all our information at theclosetgeek.net. Join us in 2 weeks as we film our next podcast, or join me next week as we do our gaming stream.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.